Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the AAK Press and Analyst Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Wednesday, 22nd of April, 2015. I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, Arne Frank. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hello, everybody. Good afternoon. Good morning. Good evening, wherever you are. Ladies and gentlemen, please be very welcome to AAK's Q1 interim report. I'm sitting here in a sunny Malmö. Spring is really here now in full action, and as a matter of fact, a little bit more sunshine a little bit earlier in the year than we are used to. So I'm sitting here together with our CFO, Fredrik Nilsson, and we are proposing to walk you through our Q1 results and following a very similar format as we have been doing since quite some time now. And by the end of this call, roughly 30 minutes or so from now, there is ample time for Q&A if you so wish. We will dive into a general overview. We will dive into some business area specific details. We will touch on our action program and so forth. So please, let's move to page 3. And we are happy to announce a good quarter, we believe. Volumes up 11%, out of which 4% is organic growth. Sales is up 17%. That's a big improvement. However, a material part of that is acquisitions and currency effects, but also some organic growth. EBIT is up to 321 million Swedish krona, up 12%. EBIT per kilo is flat despite everything, and that is what we have talked about before. The EBIT per kilo in the Belgium CSM bakery fats and our Colombian acquisition had materially lower EBIT per kilo than we are used to, so we will take some time until we have turned that around, and until then we have a dilutive effect here. Earnings per share up 12% and net debt down to 13%, down with 13%, and Fredrik will talk more about that. So net debt 2170. So these are results we are relatively happy with, and Fredrik will give you some more flavor to this, and then I will come back with some operational business comments to the same. So with that introduction, I pass the microphone to Fredrik.
Thank you, Arne. And if we start on page 4, and as Arne said, this first quarter was again a quarter with high operating profit. And we also managed to combine this with organic volume growth and a very strong cash flow. As Arne said, operating profit reached 321 in the quarter, an improvement with 12%. The result also, of course, included some currency translation impact, and that was 36 million in the quarter. So if we adjust for the FX exchange rates and also for the divestment of Binoa last year, we will have an improvement of 1% in the quarter. Also, as Arne said, we have a flat operating profit per kilo, 0.72. We have one positive item, and that's the currency translation impact. which was 0.08 in the quarter. But operating profit per kilo was also negatively impacted by several items. We have already talked about the dilutive impact of the acquisitions in Belgium and Colombia when we presented our Q4 numbers, and that will continue for a couple of more quarters. We also have a material negative year-on-year development for our infant business, which we have also earlier communicated, and that was because Q1 2014 was very, very strong. Item number three is that we continue to have a very high volume growth in commodity products in Food Ingredients. And for the commodity products, the margins are lower. If we then look at the business areas, Food Ingredients reached a result of 195 million in the quarter, an improvement of 12%. At fixed FX, a flat result for the quarter. And if we look at the segments in Food Ingredients, bakery had a very challenging 2014, but is now reporting organic growth again. And as you maybe remember, we had the fat tax implemented in Mexico last year, and we now start to see also organic growth in that region again. Food service continued to develop nicely. As I said, the infant nutrition business has been split in two segments. We have our infant, which has been challenging in the quarter due to the very strong Q1 2014, while our semi-specialty product range, Akonino, continued to show very, very nice organic volume growth in the quarter. Chocolate and confectionery fats improved by 17% in the quarter and reached 136 million. Adjusted for FX, still an improvement with 6%. And if you look a little bit behind the numbers, we have seen a worsening market conditions in Russia and Ukraine. And we also continue to see a pressure on our low-end semi-speciality products in chocolate confectionery fats. Technical products of feed, 2 million behind last year. Continue to have a good feed business, a little bit more challenging fatty acid business. If we then continue on page 5, a look at the financial summary. As Arne said, we have a volume growth in the quarter of 11%. 4% of those were organically. Food Ingredients was plus 8% in the quarter, while CCF was minus 6%. And as I said, related to CCF, it's mainly due to the situation in Russia and Ukraine. If we adjust for Russia and Ukraine, we are more or less flat in chocolate and confectionery fats for the quarter. Operating profit, the trend continues, plus 12% in the quarter, and this first quarter was our best first quarter ever. Operating profit per kilo, flat trend, and as I said, three items that have a negative impact in the quarter, the acquisitions, the strong infant business in Q1 2014, and the growth in our commodity products. If we then turn to page 6, a look at our cash flow, I will say we have a strong cash flow in the quarter. It's already started with the EBITDA, up 48 million compared to Q1 2014. Stable paid interest, paid tax is lower than Q1 2014. It's only a timing issue. We will pay more taxes in Q2. So if you compare 14 versus 15 after the second quarter year to date, you will find paid tax to be normalized. Change in working capital, plus 86 million versus the minus 176 last year. And here is the particular that we have seen a strong improvement in our inventory. We have further reduced our inventory levels. And then the good progress in our inventory has been offset by higher receivables with the organic volume growth. And then, of course, also with lower material prices, you will have a negative impact from our payables. So if we summarize our cash flow from operating activities, we have a cash flow of 428 million in the quarter versus 81 million last year. CapEx, more or less in the same level as last year, 160 million in the quarter. And as we presented at the Capital Market Day in November last year, we have guided that our CapEx for the full year should be around 1 billion. If we then turn to page 7 and look at our working capital days, you will see that the trend continues upwards, and they will do that for a while because it's measured on a rolling 12 months. So even if we have one quarter with positive cash flow from working capital, it will take some more time until we will start also seeing improvement in working capital days. Page 8, raw material prices. As you can see in the graph, raw material prices have continued down in the quarter. And also maybe you have noticed there is a proposal in the European Union to further limit the content of vegetable oils in diesel. Today, two-thirds of the European rapeseed oil is going into biofuel. And our view is that if the proposal will be approved, we should expect continued low prices on our main raw materials. Then also please remember, the 10% change in all our raw materials will impact cash flow with 250 million, but with a delay of 6 to 9 months. If we then turn to page 9 and look at return on capital employed, you will see a stable return on capital employment during the first quarter versus full year, 14.4 versus 14.5 if you look at spot value, and if you look at rolling 12, it's slightly down. But then you should have in mind that you have an FX impact when you calculate return on capital employed. Operating profit, you calculate as average rate, while the balance sheet, you are using the spot rates. Just to give you an example on working capital, as you saw in the cash flow statement, we have a positive working capital development during the first quarter. But if you use spot rates, you will see that we have an increased working capital with 89 million. So a difference of 175 million depending on which currency rates you are using. But all in all, we expect that we should have a stable return on capital employed during 2015. And then we have said when the greenfield factories are producing during 2016, we should start to see an improvement in our return on capital employed. I will now leave the microphone back to Arne.
Thank you very much, Fredrik. So moving on here and getting into some more detailed color to the business. And we start here with page 10 and our traditional arrow diagram on some of the main regions where we are active, and trying to give a feeling for the trend of the AAK business. So you can see in the Nordics, for our two main business units, we are doing very nicely, and I'm not shy to say that we are overperforming versus the market, and we are gaining market shares. And I think this is very much
the result of good work done and a strong focus on the execution of our action program and the different elements in that action program. Western Europe, flat to slightly positive. I believe we are to some degree gaining market share here too. However, here is the old CSM bakery fat business a large part. And as you all know, good people, good products, etc., but performance-wise, a little bit of a turnaround case. So Western Europe flat to marginally positive. Then U.K., we are happy and proud to announce that with all the efforts in the U.K., this business is now stable, and we even see some good signs here, which is also positive and helps to get a good total picture because U.K. is, as you know, a relatively large part of AAK. U.S., flat across the business areas here, maybe also to some degree similar to Western Europe, i.e., flat to slightly positive. So also here some good signs. Central Eastern Europe, flat, but here we must remember that countries neighboring to Russia and Ukraine are no doubt influenced by the civil war in Ukraine and the economic crisis or the economic situation in Russia. So to be flat here is not a bad performance. And we come to CIS, and Fredrik already also mentioned the civil war in Ukraine and the economic situation in Russia. And we often get the question, so how big is Russia and Ukraine in AAK? And we have never disclosed that, but we have indicated that there might be companies, international companies with head office in Sweden where it is a larger part than in the AAK case, but AAK is probably above average, clearly, and it is not a dominant part in any way, but it's not unmaterial either. And Fredrik gave you some guidance, I believe you all noticed, when Fredrik said if it wasn't for the civil war in Ukraine and the economical crisis in Russia, CCF would have been flat. That was the most precise indication I've heard on that ever, because if you know your AAK details, you can quickly do the math. And here we can also say and remind us all that during Q1, Q2, and Q3, we were surprised to see how little these severe problems affected the total AAK numbers or affected AAK numbers. Then you all recall that in Q4, we also communicated that this was difficult for us. And the good news in Q4 and now in Q1 is that the numbers you see is when absorbing these difficult and tragical problems. And we need to then recall, as we had, if we assume that these problems will not go away quickly, we can look forward to a Q2 and a Q3 where we also will have difficult comparables here. So moving on, Asia, we are improving on the food ingredient side, and we are probably flat on the CCF side. And all in all, positive trend. However, as we all know, we are relatively small in Asia still. And then Latin America, flat on FI, we would say, and up on CCF, and all in all, up. So with this, we believe we are to some extent continuing to gain market shares. Moving on, looking upon food ingredients, Fredrik already gave you the details. EBIT up 12%. an underlying good development on EBIT per kilo. Also please notice that in the year-to-year comparison, we are here in Q1 tackling an exceptionally, not even remotely repeated, neither before nor after, fantastic performance of INFAT and our joint venture Advanced Lipids that is embedded here in the comparisons. Strong volume growth, but a lot of that is acquisitive growth, but still some volume growth. Let's have a look at that on page 12. On page 12, this is a page we have disclosed now since a few quarters. We show specialty and semi-specialty and commodity. To execute on the AAK strategy, we know commodity will continue to little by little shrink, and semi-specialty and specialty will grow. The good news is we have growth in specialty and semi-specialty, even if it's modest. Please again remember, we had a super exceptional, never repeated, neither before nor after, INFAT Q1. Despite that, we are up 1%. I can easily imagine some lifted eyebrows when you see +30 on commodity. Here we should bear in mind that commodity is a small part of FI, and the character of this business is that the contracts are large, and only one or two large contracts that we, with today's much, much better cost structure, can pragmatically and seriously take responsibility for, will give these kind of numbers. The important here is the +1% on specialty and semi-specialty. Operating profit, as Fredrik said, our best Q1 ever. An operating profit per kilo down a little bit, but according to our own plans. Underlying, if we adjust for CSM and Fanagro in Colombia, here is also an underlying good trend. CCF, page 14, another very strong quarter, up 17%. Operating profit per kilo, very strong. Here we have a bit of a mixed bag. We have a good CBE business. We have what we here call low-end semi-specialty business. This is a bit of a home-woven market, marketing segmentation, I can admit. We feel again, and we have communicated this before, very strong competitive pressure on the simplest CCF products that we choose to call low-end semi-specialty. Very strong competitive pressure. That's why we get this kind of picture with up 17%, partly driven by FX, but not only. Volumes down 6%, would have been flat again without Russia and Ukraine. You can then imagine that Russia and Ukraine historically is a little bit CBE heavy. With that guidance, you can do the calculations yourself. A good picture. Then you can also see here operating profit, record high, even if normally a Q1 is not the strongest quarter in the year, it's always Q3 and Q4. Despite that, we have here the best quarter we, to my knowledge, ever had in this business, and also very strong operating profit per kilo. We often get a question about the cocoa butter price, which has fallen from the high levels of $8,000 and nearly $9,000 per metric ton. We had this discussion the last quarter, and some of you had follow-up questions on my statement that we liked a good but not too high, a high but not too high cocoa butter price. A historical typical price is probably around $4,500 per metric ton. And at that level, our value proposition from both functionality and other customer benefits and finally cost point of view is enough interesting to permit to be economically interesting for our customer and economically interesting for AAK and AAK shareholders. And I also mentioned when the price is north of, difficult to say, but I would guess $7,000, for many of our customers, they are then forced to push that cost increase to their customers. Otherwise, a very, very big portion of their EBIT, if not all of it, would be wiped out. And with that kind of cost increases, some of them did, during parts of 2014, see negative price elasticity. So long story short, today's level between $5,000 and $6,000 per metric ton is, we believe, a good level for our customers, a good level for AAK, or in whatever order you prefer, and that's an order where we can make money. CBE is very appealing to our customers, and hopefully the customers can manage that cost level. It's important for AAK that our customers can manage their total cost picture. So that was the comment on the cocoa butter. Technical products and feed, smallest business area. Now Binol is no longer here, so a little bit down. We expect this to not show any dramatic picture for the next few quarters. The action program, after AAK Acceleration, as you know, we launched as a continuation and evolution our AAK Action program. We focus on sales, innovation, and execution. And we do believe that this program now in place since 5 quarters is bearing fruit, and a determined execution with sometimes a nearly pig-headed obstinacy to really push in a determined and consequent way on these very key areas is resulting. Our organization is enthusiastic about this. We hope our customers start to see some results of this, and we do believe we can see some result of this in our numbers. On AAK Acceleration, we always disclosed a little bit more than you see here on page 18, but the character of this program is such that it is not in the interest of our shareholders if we go into further details. But it is about focusing our efficiency, how effective we are in getting out with our value propositions around health and cost to our customers. It is about how we can excel further on what we know is already our strengths, the customer co-development. It is about some generic innovation and generic product development, and as always, execution, customer service, product quality, and productivity. And we are moving nicely ahead on all fronts. So approaching the end here, just before the Q&A, and I believe what you have on page 19, you've heard us say before, that based on our value propositions for health, no trans, low fat, and reduced cost, and with our customer co-development product co-development approach and solutions approach, we continue to remain prudently optimistic about the future, and we believe there will be a continued underlying long-term development in Food Ingredients, and we expect further improvement in the CCF business area. So, ladies and gentlemen, that was basically our presentation. We are now getting ready for some Q&A, and before we open up for the Q&A, I've been asked here also by Fredrik to pitch a little bit for our calendar, our meetings here during the year. So, if you have not subscribed yourself for participation at our annual general assembly, May 5, here in beautiful Malmö, you are most welcome. May 5 in the early afternoon, I believe it is. Very welcome. And then please notice also Capital Market Day, this year only one. And Stockholm has been the chosen location. So please also notice, particularly November 18 as well, Stockholm. That was the end of the one-way communication here from Malmö, and we now please open up for some Q&A if you so wish.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Your first question today comes from the line of Casper Blom. Please ask your question.
Thanks a lot, and first of all, congrats with a good start to the year, guys. I would like to jump into infant nutrition, and of course, it's understandable that you've had these difficult comparisons, but are you starting to see any signs of improvement that we could start seeing growth again here in this area for you guys? Nestlé and Danone, for example, have been continuing to speak well about this area. Secondly, on cocoa butter prices, I understand your thinking that or your whole thinking about price elasticity, but have you actually seen this lower cocoa butter price leading to any type of increased demand for the products? And then finally, a little broader, we've seen signs of the European economy starting to pick up, at least with some decent PMI data for Northern Europe lately. Is that anything that will have a spillover effect on your business? Thank you.
Thank you, Casper, for your comments and your questions. The way we operate here, I take the more easier slash less difficult questions, and then I delegate to Fredrik to complete it once. Here, I believe I can try on all three of your questions. Infant nutrition and China. We have done a good quarter when we speak about infant nutrition. But infant nutrition in AAK consists basically of two different product families. One is Infat, registered trademark, and that is our joint advanced lipids joint venture. This is the part of the business that peaked in a way that if we plotted it in some kind of diagram, you would be astonished. In Q1, our Akonino business, and I'm unaware if we have disclosed the two, but nevertheless, our Akonino are more basic blends, also a good product, has had a very, very good development all through Q3, Q4, and now Q1. And speaking about China, which is an important part of the world market for infant nutrition in general, probably we will now, from Q2 and on, be facing more manageable last comparisons, and hence be able to show some positive evolution on that. A little bit early to say, but that is what we would expect. CCF, CBE demand, have we seen any uptick when we have now a still relatively high cocoa butter price, but much more balanced than before. I would say we see strong underlying trend CBE business, a good development. We are in an industry where our large customers take long-term decisions. It's not so swinging so much up and down. Also remember that when cocoa butter was down $500 minimum level just a year or two earlier, we didn't have that big swings either. So this is the good news and the bad news with our business, that it's not swinging so quickly up and down. So we see a strong, stable, underlying evolution of CBE. And the good news with today's cost level butter is that we hear less about dramatic price increases from our customers, and we hear less, if not anything at all, about negative price elasticity. Finally, general economy uptick in Western Europe. So bad news, Northern and Western Europe used to be 70% of AAK. It's now only 30% of AAK. But that's maybe good news too. It should help, but as you know, again, the magnitude of the uptick is such that it should not have a major impact on our performance. Maybe we see a little bit of wind in our sails from this point of view in the UK to some degree, a country important in AAK, and where we struggled a lot and the economy and the consumer struggled. Maybe we see a little bit relief on that side of the things. And an indicator could be that in food ingredients, we've done good in dairy fat alternatives. We've done okay also in bakery. We've done okay also in food service. And food service is probably the business that is the most cyclical in AAK, because that is to a degree a mirror image of how we choose to eat outside our homes. So I don't know if I answered your questions, Kasper. I tried.
I think you did well, Arne. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Heidi Vesterinen. Please ask your question.
Hi, good afternoon. So the first one is on CCF. You talked about low-end products facing competitive pressure. Can you clarify whether you see this intensifying in recent months, or has it been more or less stable? Because you had talked about pressure in the past. And in dealing with this, your strategy is to focus the business more on specialties. But given that you always have some commodity exposure, what is your strategy for dealing with the commodity competitors that you have? And then a second question on the greenfield sites. You talked about how they were on track. Should we anticipate any ramp costs in the second half or going into 2016? And given you had talked about producing more commodities in these sites in the very initial stages, what will this mean for EBIT per kilo in the initial stages? Thank you.
Thank you, Heidi. I will try to answer part of this question. Part of it will be delegated to Fredrik, as it's more complicated. But as you know, our strategy is semi-speciality and speciality. And our commodity business would typically be where our cost base is good and we have a geographical advantage to competition. And if those two criteria are fulfilled, we could do some healthy commodity business. Otherwise, it's not a focus. Now, that pattern is changing on the CCF side, and there is a what we call low-end semi-speciality business where the margins and the EBIT per kilo starts to look very much similar to what we traditionally have called commodity. So hence, the strategy for that should be the same. The volumes are lower, as the volumes in CCF are lower than the volumes in NFI. And this is something that, as you point out, has been going on since quite some while. I think we've seen this since 1 or 2 years or something like this. Our approach to it is very similar to the commodities in FI, and that is if we can be competitive and we have some kind of edge, geographical edge or solution edge or anything like that, we take the business, but we are not turning ourselves inside out to gain it and participate in price wars, etc., etc. We are not. Then on Brazil and China, and the ramp-up costs we shall expect for Q3 and Q4, I will delegate that question to Fredrik. But commodity, to fill the factories with commodity in the beginning, I want to comment, because I've heard that question before, and maybe someone in AAK has said it, but I would be surprised. There was a speculation that the way to fill the factories quickly to get a better total economy, we would opportunistically fill it with commodity, and then once we have ramped up and filled the factory, we change the mix little by little. That is, of course, a scenario. It's not a main scenario from our side, but will there be a little bit of that? Yes, maybe, maybe not. Too early to say. I personally believe it is difficult to do it like that, because the commodity business is a little bit like a drug. It's not good for you, but it's easy to get addicted. But maybe there could be elements of it to a pragmatic extent, but it's not the main strategy. Then your question on ramp-up cost, Q3, Q4, what do you say about that, Fredrik? Shall the analysts expect some deteriorated numbers by the end of the year because our ramp-up cost when we are running may be underutilized?
I will say, of course, if you go back, we have already started to employ more salespeople in the regions, more custom innovation people that we have absorbed in our reported numbers. We already started with that in 2014. And then, of course, when we get closer to the starting point of the factory, and we will start with Brazil late in Q4, of course, we need to employ some employees during the second half. So there will be some cost. And if you look then into if there will be a dilutive impact, yes, I will say there will be a small dilutive impact from that in particular Q4, and then as Arne said, going forward, the new factories will not fully utilize from day one, so there will be a dilutive impact also in 2016 during the ramp up.
Okay, thank you,
Fredrik. Very much.
Thank you, Heidi.
Your next question comes from the line of James Target. Please ask your question.
Good morning. Good afternoon, everyone. A couple of questions from me. Firstly, just on looking at a like-for-like comparable volumes, both in FI and CCF. I mean, my understanding was in the fourth quarter that we had the spike in commodity volumes because there was a good opportunistic reason for doing so. So I'm just trying to figure out in the Q1 is the big increase again in commodity volumes. Was it an additional volumes you've been taking on, or was this the sort of the carryover from the full fourth quarter? And how long should we expect this elevated level of commodity volumes in food ingredients to impact this year? And then also on volumes in CCF, excluding the Russia impact, you have flat comparable volumes. I mean, should we be expecting this level to continue for the rest of the year? And then on EBIT per kilo in CCF, clearly, record level, and Q1 is typically lower than what you get in the second half of the year. So I just wondered if there's any kind of reasons we shouldn't be expecting a significant increase in EBIT per kilo from the Q1 level in the second half of this year. And because, as you said, that Russia and Ukraine are sort of over-indexed towards CBE, which should, and if they're weak, I guess that should be a negative drag on EBIT per kilo. And then, sorry, maybe one final one just on free cash flow and working capital. Clearly, inputs are continuing to go down. So should we expect a further improvement in working capital as we go through the year? Thank you.
Thank you, James. So CCF EBIT per kilo, very difficult to say. I say on the CCF EBIT per kilo, the CCF evolution, same as I say on this entire Q1 report. It's a good report. It's a stable report. Let's be happy with this. Let's not get carried away. Let's not get into any kind of euphoria of any sort that we will continue to raise, for example, in this case, the EBIT per kilo. A stable evolution from this point will be very good in any case. CCF volumes, so we see good evolution on the high-end and the mid-end products. We are punished on the low-end products. And then to this we add Russia-Ukraine, which we have now disclosed in detail down to metric tons. Difficult to say what we can expect from the future here. But Q2 is a smaller quarter always, so that's always the most unpredictable one, I would say. And we're also now waiting, and we should all keep an eye on what is our customers' real through sale from the Easter period. In parts of the world, Easter, you know, you eat a bit more chocolate than you normally do. But in big parts of the world, there is massive chocolate consumption for Easter. So we are now waiting with large interest, what is the real through sale from our customers for the Easter holiday in those markets where Easter is a massive chocolate consumption season. Commodity, FI, again, the base is low, so just a couple of big contracts and you get these kind of effects. I would tend to say that the large part of this plus 30% is the carryover. So if you do a one-year contract, you get that kind of comparison for four quarters. That's a big part of the 30%. If it's all of it, more difficult to say right now, not prepared for that question. But this is not swinging our performance very much. So the importance is that we keep the eye on the FI semi-speciality and speciality growth. That is what's swinging our EBIT. We performed like this despite having a very, very, very tough last year comparison to match. So that was some of your questions, at least trying, and then I delegate the last one to Fredrik on the cash flow question.
Yes, and of course that will be, if the raw material prices continue downwards, that should be positive working capital during the second half of 15. But then also, I think it's really important to have in mind that when we start to ramp up the factories in Brazil and China, we also need some working capital. So that will offset price decrease, because you need both inventory and you will create receivables, and of course also there will be some payables, but there will be a net increase when you start to ramp up new factories. I hope that explained your question, James.
Yeah, that's great. I just one follow up. You know, on the CCF volumes, is there any? Can you give some sort of color on the difference in trends between the semi and specialty and the lower end commodities in CCF, like you do in food ingredients?
We can split it a little bit. Like we said, you put Russia and Ukraine aside. And then you split the rest in the low-end side versus the mid and the high-end side. And then the issue is on the low-end side, and we classify that as semi-speciality, but it's really a business that is now starting to look more and more very similar to the commodity business we have on, in FI in terms of margins and so forth.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thank you, James.
Your next question comes from the line of Patrick Fetterberg. Please ask your question.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. My first question is regarding the integration of the CSM Benelux acquisition. Could you just give an update how it's going, and are you still expecting this acquisition to contribute positive to EBIT for the second half of 2015?
Hello, Patrick. Thank you for your question. Yes, this is an acquisition that we believe will bring value to the AK shareholders. It is obviously an acquisition that was not the bull's eye in our strategy, demographic, economic growth, and. It was a bit of a turnaround case, but good people, good products, and so forth, and all our different integration activities are following the initial integration plans. I'm going there myself personally again 2 weeks from now, and we are now soon through what we call phase one, or the first wave of integration activities, and we are now looking forward to phase two. And I believe we stick to everything we said when we signed that acquisition. However, it's a turnaround case, so it will have a dilutive effect on our EBIT per kilo for quite some time going into the future, but it should add to the AK bottom line from Q3, Q4.
Okay, thank you. Very clear. My second question is relating your factories in Brazil and China. You're flagging that you will not necessarily fill the factories with commodity volumes initially. I'm just wondering, have you started to sign any customer contracts for the volumes you expect to produce from these factories?
Basically, no. The way it goes in this industry is that customers want to come and audit your factories. I mean, we're speaking, as we know, needless to say, about food. That means we are speaking food safety. Our focus is the international customers first, where we have an edge being able to supply same as we supply to them in other parts of the world. They, and also the local, are very, very, very prudent on quality, production standards, and ultimately food safety. So the way it normally goes is they want to come and audit your factory, and to audit your factory, there needs to be a factory. So it would be nice to sign contracts before the factory is operational, but it's not so easy. And then the focus for these factories is, of course, semi-speciality and speciality. Filling them with commodity more than pragmatically to a very limited extent would be a sign that it's more difficult to ramp up than we are hoping for. So there will be a period, and that is in the CapEx decision, internal AAK management and board decision-making process, when we look upon payback calculations and CapEx decisions and so forth, when we build a new factory, there is definitely an element of us during a period of time burning more money than we generate, because the factories, until they are ramped up to a certain utilization level, will be under critical and burning money instead of earning money. And that we have embedded in our decisions.
Okay, thank you again. That was it from my side.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Carrie Rinter. Please ask your question.
Yes, thank you. A few quick follow-ups. Firstly, on the infant nutrition and to maybe to better understand what to expect in the future, it would be helpful if you could discuss the sort of the evolution in the infant nutrition segment that you saw last year. So did we see, or did you see a sudden drop in EBIT per kilo from the second quarter, and then you stayed on that level throughout the year, or was it more of a linear decline that you, or a sort of a ongoing decline that you saw throughout the year? That's my first question. Then the second question relates to the CCF and the competition that you're seeing, starting to see in the low end and also in the mid range, if I understood you correctly. Is there a risk that it would spread higher in the value chain, or is there something that makes the sort of the high end part of the business more secure from this increasing competition? Thank you.
Thank you, Kari. Then I will try to be relatively short here because I'm afraid we are running out of time. But infant nutrition, the Akonino part of the business developed nicely all through 2014. We saw nice growth, not any super duper growth, but nice growth, what you would expect, I would say, Q1, Q2, Q3, Q4 last year. And we have a very strong Q1 Akonino growth here this year. Very strong, I can say. Infat, advanced lipids, we saw a super duper Q1 2014, and I speak year-to-year comparisons, and then we saw bleak year-to-year comparisons Q2, Q3, Q4. Q1 this year I just commented indirectly. And from this, we now expect some step-by-step modest improvement. Difficult to judge, but we will know much more once we have Q2 behind us, I would say, because then we have that super-duper Q1 2014 behind us. Then your final question, low-end, mid-end, high-end, our defense is customer co-development. Tailor-made solutions to take out cost, to improve health, to improve other customer benefits in various ways. That's the main defense, and that's the main strategy of AAK. In the commodity business, that does not really exist. On the low-end semi-speciality side, where margins are as nearly as on the commodities, sometimes it exists, and then it's in our focus area. Sometimes there is no interest in doing so because the product go into very cost-effective final products. And then that business is under big pressure. So that is our short answer to that, Kari. We can talk more about that at another occasion.
Okay, thanks. That's helpful.
So we appreciate your attention. We appreciate your support. We appreciate all your questions. We would like to go on here, but some people tell us we need to stop here now. So thank you very much, everybody, and looking forward to see you in a not too remote future, I really hope. And May 5 is a good occasion. Please all be very welcome.
Thank you. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now all disconnect.